Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you so much for joining us for service today. And it's so exciting, isn't it, to see how God is using the church to bless the lives of people, whether it's through the groceries that are being given away, whether it's through ministering to people where they're at. I mean, God is using the church, and you're a part of the church. And thank you for your faithfulness and your generosity. I mean, honestly, when I look at what God is doing and the breadth and the scale of it, it is so exciting. When I walk down the hallways at the South Campus, or I'm down at Joplin and I see what's happening there, or I drive by the North Campus and see the new highway that's going in right in front of the building, or I go by the West Campus and I think of all of the cars that were lined up there. Honestly, God is using the church in such a dynamic way, and your giving, your generosity is critical to that. So thank you for worshiping the Lord with your tithes and with your offerings, with your Welcome to the Future campaign pledges, with your missions giving. It is making such a difference, and lives are being changed, not only on Sunday, but through the entire week. So we are so grateful for the way God is using you and the way God is using the church. And we look forward to that time when we're all back together, because as awesome as church online is, being together is going to be even more fantastic. We're already planning for that service and what it's going to be like. It's going to be a great day for the kingdom, an exciting day for James River when we're all back together. We are so glad that you've taken this time to join us for James River Online and our online services, and we hope that you'll tell a friend about it and that it'll be a blessing to your life as well. For the last few weeks, we've been in a series on the Old Testament prophet Elijah, and we've been learning lessons from the life of this incredible man of God. We've titled this series, Fit for the Future, because I believe God is doing a work during this pandemic so that when we're back together in the next few weeks, we'll see God do a work through us because we've allowed Him to do a work in us. And I can't wait till we're back together. It's going to be powerful. The church is growing in strength. I believe this, that we're going to see a stronger, more vibrant ministry than ever before, and that we're going to see God do incredible things. Now, the title of today's message, it's so appropriate for what I've just said. The title of the message is, Give Me a Double Portion. Give me a double portion. I love that, because what I'm praying is that we'll experience that both individually and as a church, that we'll have a double portion of God's blessing on our lives and on the church. What is a double portion? It's interesting, but the Bible mentions that phrase 6 times. And a double portion is essentially receiving twice as much from God as you would normally receive. In Chronicles, we've talked about the story before of a man named Jabez who said, Oh Lord, that you would bless me, it says in the original, that you would doubly bless me. That's the idea of a double portion. When we're talking about a double portion, we're talking about twice as much wisdom. We're talking about twice as much joy and gladness. We're talking about 2 times the inheritance. The eldest son would get a double portion. He'd get twice the inheritance of everybody else. And in the passage that we're reading today, what Elisha, the attendant, the person who served under Elijah and would take his place, what he is going to ask for is he's going to ask for a double portion that will result in twice as many miracles. Now, as we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven. It may interest you to know that he's one of only 2 people in the Bible who didn't die. In fact, he didn't die. God sent a chariot of fire to come and to pick him up. Now, let me just set the stage. Remember last week, we saw Elijah as he ran from the wicked Queen Jezebel, who was trying to kill him. And he went to Mount Sinai. That was the mountain 300 miles away where God had given Moses the Ten Commandments. And Elijah is there, and he's essentially saying to God, I'm the only one that is left. And God listens to him, and then God commissions him and sends him back into ministry. And one of the things the Lord told Elijah to do was to anoint as his successor a man by the name of Elisha. Let's look at it in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15. And the Lord said to him, go return on your way, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And you can read this story, and the Bible says that Elijah found Elisha out in the field, and he was plowing. And Elijah goes up and puts his mantle, his cloak, on Elisha. It's a way of saying, I'm calling you. And Elisha ran after Elijah and for the next 7 years learned from him and served him. And now as we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah knows that his ministry is coming to a close. He knows he's going to be going to heaven. And as he and Elisha are on their final journey, their final time of just spending time together and going from city to city, they pass through three cities. And at the end of that journey, Elijah asks Elisha this question. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. In other words, here's what Elisha is saying to Elijah. I want twice the power of God on my life that you had on yours. Many Bible scholars believe that each of the three places they visited before Elijah was taken up into heaven speak to the significance of the double portion that Elisha would ask to be given. So with that in mind, when we talk about being fit for the future and we talk about a double portion blessing, there are three places that we have to pass through spiritually in order for you and I to be positioned to receive a double portion blessing. Place number one, Gilgal. Let's call it a place of separation. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Gilgal was a place of separation. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 5, where the children of Israel, after traveling 40 years in the desert, they've crossed the Jordan River, they've taken Jericho, they're now in the promised land. And they hadn't conquered it yet, but before they could conquer it, the males had to be circumcised in accordance with God's covenant. It was an area, I guess you could call it, of delayed obedience. Because as you can imagine, and when they're traveling through the desert, it would have been very, very hard for them to observe the rite of circumcision. But now, in order for them to know the blessing of God, in order for them to have the power of God on them as a people, as they fight their battles, as they take the promised land, it's going to be critical that the things that are important to God are important to them. The things they had set aside, the things that were not as big a priority to them in the journey, if they were going to know the blessing of God in the promised land, those things would now have to become a priority to them. Let me ask you this question. Are there things in your life that God has asked you to do something about or he's asked you to do and you still haven't done them? Is there something that you know God has been dealing with you about maybe for several weeks, several months, could be for several years? And it's an area of delayed obedience. It could be in the area of giving. Maybe God's been calling you to give 10% of your income to the Lord, or God's calling you to step up your generosity to the Lord. It could be the giving of your time, serving, and using your time to a greater degree for God's kingdom purpose. It might have to do with the area of your family where God is saying, listen, I want you to do more to disciple your sons, your daughters, your family. I want you to spiritually build your marriage. Is there something in your life maybe that needs to be cut away? Maybe it's a besetting sin, something that has had a grip on you and God is saying you need to let go of that. Or maybe it's not a sin. Maybe it's just simply something that is holding you back. It could be a good thing that's gone bad because it's become too big a priority in your life. Maybe it's your job, and you've allowed your job to consume you. And God is saying, listen, if you want to be blessed, you have to make sure your job's not your number one priority in your life. Could be a hobby or a possession. It might be a habit, but it's keeping you from becoming the man or the woman of God that God is calling you to be. Maybe it's an attitude of pride, and you're thinking too much of yourself or too much about yourself. Maybe it's unforgiveness and there's somebody who's hurt you and it's all you can think about. You're constantly thinking of how they injured you and how your life's been damaged. And God is saying, I want you to let go of that. Maybe it's an area of self-indulgence and God is saying, I'll bless you. But in order for me to do that, you're going to need to cut that out of your life. They passed through Gilgal. It was a place of separation. And you know, as you read this story, it's obvious Elisha had separated himself to God. He had given up his lifestyle as a wealthy landowner. We know that because when Elijah came and threw his cloak around him, we read that he was out in the field, Elisha was, and he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen, and he was driving the 12th pair. And when Elijah called him, Elisha burned that pair of oxen as a sacrifice. You know what that'd be like doing? That'd be like taking your brand new John Deere tractor. And, you know, I mean, it's been a while since I've been on the farm, but if it's a four-wheel drive tractor, it's $250,000. If it's a big tractor that's more of your traditional two-wheel drive, that kind of tractor is $100,000. And here is Elisha. He burns his oxen, sacrifices them as if to say, I won't be needing these. I'm not coming back. You know, sometimes people, what keeps them from experiencing the blessing of God is they always are looking for a way out. In case it doesn't work out, well, then they can go back to their old way of living. There's something about the commitment and the separation and the sacrifice that says, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go for it in following you. And when we make that kind of decision, it leads to God's double blessing in our life. You have to be willing to say goodbye to the things that stand in the way of the life God is calling you to live. So, what is God asking you to let go of? What is He asking you to cut away from your life so that you can walk in that double portion blessing? The second place they go to is Bethel. Let's call it a place of consecration. The name Bethel means house of God, and the Old Testament is rich with all of these different stories that happened at Bethel. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out. It was at Bethel that Jacob in Genesis 28 had an encounter with God. He saw a stairway to heaven and the angels of God were ascending and descending and God spoke to him at that moment. It was a place of consecration. When I think of consecration, I think of three things. Bethel was a place of sacrifice in Genesis 35 and verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God. What do you do on an altar? You offer a sacrifice. Bethel was also a place of worship. It was a place where he met God. It says this in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, talking about Jacob's encounter with God at Bethel. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him. The Lord God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. So it's a place of worship, and in worship, in that time when we're celebrating who God is and what he's done in our life, it's in that moment that God begins to speak to us. Third, Bethel was a place of commitment. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 19, we read this. We're talking about Jacob. It's he, that's Jacob, called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob says, I'm so committed to God that I'm going to give him a tenth of everything that he gives me. So as Elijah and Elisha are walking along, they go through this place of consecration. Elisha had consecrated himself to the Lord. He'd consecrated himself to serving Elijah. And the significance of them going through Bethel is it's a reminder to us that God's blessing always follows a wholehearted commitment to worship him, to seek him, to serve him. Let me ask you, what is your life about? What are you committed to? A double portion blessing comes from consecration. The third city they visit is Jericho. Let's call this a place of occupation. Look at it in verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. You remember Jericho. It was that first city the Israelites captured when they entered the Promised Land. Remember, they gave a shout to God and the walls came down. But the fact of the matter is, it required a battle won in praise for them to take that city. But the battle for the Promised Land didn't end at Jericho. When you read the story in the book of Joshua, the Israelites had to fight to enter the land, and they had to fight to stay there. If we're going to receive a double portion blessing from God, a blessing he wants to give us, then we have to do more than just visit the places of blessing. Too many Christians, they visit breakthrough, they just don't live there. They visit the Promised Land, they just won't fight to stay there. The blessing of God is available, but it's not automatic. You have to fight your flesh if you're going to have a godly marriage. You have to fight your own human logic if your finances are going to be blessed and you're going to give away, knowing that you can't outgive God, knowing that the way to have more is to give what you have to the Lord. Honestly, there are some, and you're so busy listening to your logic that you won't do what the Word of God says, and the result is you'll miss God's blessing. You have to fight if you're going to know the blessing that comes as a result of walking close to God. You have to fight your flesh. You have to fight the forces of darkness, because a double blessing doesn't come without a fight. Now watch this, because Elisha went through all of those places. So he went through the place of separation. He went through the place of consecration. He went through the place of occupation. And because he went through all of that, he was bold enough to ask Elijah. When Elijah said, what do you want me to do? He was bold enough to say, I want a double portion. Let me ask you, what would you have asked for? Some of you might have said, well, you know, I would just say, hey, it was great being with you, Elijah, because wow, to see what you did was amazing. There's others of you and you'd say, well, you know, who am I? Why would God do that for me? I love this about Elisha. He's bold. He believes God always has more. He believes this, that the best is yet to come, that there's more miracles to be done, that there's more things that where God wants to show his power and his presence and his blessing. So he says to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. He's saying, I want to know God twice as well as you do. I want to believe God twice as much as you have. I want to see God do twice as many miracles as he did in your life. And you know what? When you read scripture, you'll see Elisha did exactly that. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He was bold enough to ask. So guess what? God granted his request. Like Jabez, who said, oh Lord, that you would bless me, God granted his request. Let's believe God. Let's ask God for big things. Let's ask God as we're going through this season of pandemic, let's say, God, do more in my life than you've ever done before. Let's ask God when we get back together as a church, God, do more in and through the church than you've ever done before. Let's ask him to help us make twice the impact that we made before. Let's ask God to make each one of us individually twice as strong in him, twice as committed, to experience twice God's blessing. Listen, God delights when his people believe and ask for big things. When people believe, nothing is too big, nothing is too impossible. God is overjoyed at the opportunity to show his people and to show a watching world his greatness. Elisha got that double portion blessing. Elisha went through the right places, so he was at the right place at the right time. That's what God is doing in our lives right now. I believe this, he's taking us through the right places. He is taking us on a journey in this pandemic so that we can receive that double portion blessing. In a moment, the worship team is going to come back and close our time in worship. But before we close, I want to ask you a question. Because we've been talking about the blessing of God. We've been talking about walking with God in sacrifice and consecration and occupying the land. But before all of that, we need a relationship with God. There are some of you watching today, and you would say at one time you had a relationship with God, but today as you're watching this, you would have to honestly say that you haven't been walking with God at all. For you, it's a matter of rededicating your life to Christ. There are others of you, and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this. Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you're in a season where you're feeling anxious, or you're feeling depressed, or you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling that something is missing in your life, or you're simply saying, you know what, that blessing you're talking about, I would love to walk with God like that, then here's what you need to do. You need to call out to God. The Bible says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to call for you. It's a decision only you can make. And I know this. Right now, God is speaking to hearts. He's speaking to your heart right now. The real issue is, will you respond? In fact, let me ask you this. If this were your last day on planet Earth, if tomorrow you knew you were entering eternity, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Yes, there is a real hell. It's a real place where people who didn't want anything to do with God in this life will spend eternity separated from him forever in the next life. It's a place where people who did not allow Jesus to forgive them of their sin will spend eternity. Listen, this is why Jesus died on the cross. He came to pay for our sin, to pay a debt we could never pay. And right now, Jesus, right where you're at, he's knocking on the door of your heart. And he wants you to open your heart to him. He wants you to invite him into your life. And when you do, he'll not only forgive your sin, but his power will make you into a new person.